It was, let's go. During the run, I was so confident that even after the crash, I run because I said, oh, maybe a podium is possible or something. It's so funny. You know, your head sometimes when it's like, you have the program in your head, it's like, just go. It was a good run. Just like maybe the last corner, I did it so bad, but it was enough. Yeah, I think I can win more World Cup. But still some weekend where some...
Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and this is the Downtime Podcast, where we're going to be taking you deeper than ever into the gravity-based side of mountain biking. First up, some quick messages from our supporting partners, Canyon and Wahoo. Are you looking for a new ride? Well, the Canyon Trail sale has started so that you can shred for less and save big on your next bike. With no better way to start your season than with a brand new world-class mountain bike, you can save up to 30% on your dream Canyon. Head over to canyon.com now to find out more. Wahoo Fitness are the ultimate companion for all your mountain biking challenges. In taking on the Enduro World Series, Stone King Rally and some downhill racing, Wahoo has been my go-to brand for training, racing and riding. Their Kicker indoor trainer has been an absolute game changer. Whether I'm getting those winter Zone 2 miles done or smashing out an interval session, with precision power and intensity control based on Wahoo's cutting-edge fitness tests like the full frontal 4DP and the half Monty ramp test, I know I'm always getting the most effective workouts possible. And with seamless connectivity to their system online training platform, tailored training plans are just a click away, perfectly aligned with my goals and schedule. But Wahoo isn't just about training. Their bike computers, the Element Bolt and Roam, have become essential riding companions. They're robust and reliable, enabling me to track my rides and see my progress. With Wahoo's approach to continuous improvement via free software updates, it means they keep getting better too. And now Wahoo is taking things to the next level with their biggest feature update yet. With Wahoo's latest integrations, you can control your music directly from your bike computer, and very soon you'll be able to do the same with your GoPro too. Imagine being able to start and stop your GoPro right there from your bike computer and see if it's recording or not, so there's no more of that post-ride regret when you realise you've forgotten to hit record. You'll even be able to change your GoPro mode and profile right there on your handlebars. Nice work, Wahoo. Head over to wahoofitness.com now and discover how Wahoo can help you. Okay, just a couple of quick things before we get stuck into this week's episode. Firstly, make sure you never miss an episode by following the podcast. Just hit the follow button in your podcast app now, or find dedicated buttons for all the major platforms to help you over at downtimepodcast.com/follow. You can also keep up to date with what's going on by following us on Instagram or Facebook, where we're at Downtime Podcast. If you're hungry for more downtime, then you can join the newsletter at downtimepodcast.com/newsletter for exclusive behind-the-scenes insights, mountain biking snippets, product reviews, partner offers, and more. And if you want to help support the show, you can join our Patreon over at patreon.com/downtimepodcast or grab yourself some merch from downtimepodcast.com/shop. Don't forget, if you'd prefer to watch today's episode, you can check out the podcast now over on YouTube at youtube.com/@downtimepodcast. I'd love it if you head over there, subscribe to the channel and show the video some loves via likes and comments to help the channel grow. All the links I've mentioned are going to be in the show notes for this episode on my website, downtimepodcast.com. All right, today we have the privilege of welcoming Benoit Coulanges to the show. Benoit embodies dedication and commitment, embarking on an 11-year odyssey with a clear goal: to take a World Cup victory. Throughout this time of ups and downs, challenges and successes, Benoit has remained laser-focused on his target. We'll journey back to his incredible silver medal finish at the 2021 World Champs in Val d'Isère, where victory slipped through his fingers by the narrowest of margins. From there, we'll unravel the tale of his extraordinary 2023 season, characterised by unwavering perseverance, unyielding dedication, and ultimately triumph. And of course, we'll celebrate his first ever downhill World Cup win in Lejeune and all the emotions that came with it. Where does Benoit go from here? We'll find out in this episode. So, without further ado, here's Benoit Coulanges. Benoit Coulanges, welcome to the Downtime Podcast, man. How's things?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's you're someone I've wanted to talk to for a while, and it seems even more appropriate given the season you had last season. But before we get stuck into it, you've just come back from a week at team camp, I think. How's that been?
Pretty good, yeah. We did a race in France, in Saint-Dié.
Yeah.
It's the home race of Rémi Thirion. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty stoked. I won the race, so it's a good start of the season. Like, you know, at the beginning of the season, you never know if you keep your speed, if you still have your magic power to go fast. So it looks like I'm still good. So it's good for the confidence. Yeah.
Yeah.
That and was... after that, we had like few days of training camp in Les Vosges, close to the race, like in Lac Blanc. And we did 3 days of riding and testing. It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, cool, man. What can you say what sort of stuff you were doing, testing-wise and setup-wise? Or is it secret?
No, we did some testing with the suspension. Fox have new fork, so we did a lot with that. Mm-hmm. And also with the tire, because this year we changed the brand of the tire. Now we're riding for Michelin. Mm-hmm. That is a big move for us. So it was muddy. So we did some tests on the mud tires, and we tried some different cut, and it was pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. And are you doing anything specific at this point to be ready for like Fort William? Because Fort William's quite, I guess, unique in its style and approach compared to other tracks. I've seen a lot of riders spending a bit of time at Fort William if they can, but are you trying to do anything to get ready just for Fort William specifically?
Not really, but like in Lac Blanc, the trail was pretty flat, so it's pretty good to train for William to keep the speed and everything. And that's all, I think. And now we have more rest than before to be fresh for the beginning of the season.
Yeah, good stuff, man. And that race in Saint-Dié was well attended. That wasn't just an easy win for you, was it? There was some fast people there.
Yeah. It was pretty... We had like Thibaut Dapras, Loïc Bruny and Rémy Thion, where it was really fast. I think Rémy had mechanical in the final, but his first split was it was better than me. And yeah, we had like Antoine Piron did second. He did a pretty good run. So yeah, it was good racing, always in France.
Yeah.
With good riders.
Definitely. Is that an extra confidence boost coming into the season? And certainly to be ahead of someone like Loic, who we know is always there or thereabouts.
Yeah, sure. Sure, it's a good boost, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
But it's, nothing is like World Cup, so we'll see.
yeah, Loic has a habit of turning things up when the World Cup's in town. Right, let's go back to the beginning and just get some background, Benoit. Whereabouts in France did you grow up, and like how did you get into mountain biking?
So I come from Lyon, mm-hmm. Close to Lyon. My place is like, we call it... Mont du Lyonnais is like a small hill in the close to Lyon. And how I started mountain bike is a long story. I think from pretty young, with my father, we rode a lot. We did like normal cycling or normal mountain biking. And during a few years, I did a lot of different sports. And one day I asked my father if he can find a club of mountain bike that they teach me how to jump. Uh-huh. Because when you're young, you just only want to jump. So he find BMX club close to my home. I did 2 years there. And after 2 years, I had problem with my back. And so the doctor didn't want to sing again my license.
Yeah.
So I stopped BMX, but honestly, it was worse for the doctor because I rode every day after that with my mountain bike. I did a bit of everything, like, well, most of the time we had a little backpack around home, like really little, with like maybe 4 or 5 jumps. Mm-hmm. And I spent my evening and my weekend there. And yeah, I spent a lot of time there and spent time in the forest and everything. But later, I think at 14 years old, I went to in holidays with my brother and my father in Léger. Mm-hmm. and we rent some mountain bike, some downhill mountain bike, and I did 3 or 4 days of downhill, and I love it. It was pretty good, yeah. So when I went back home, I did some trail around my my home and did some little downhill with my I had like just hardtail,
yeah,
like a dirt jump, little dirt jump. So I did some downhill with that around home, but it was really small track, like 20 second tracks. From there, I think I was able again to do some. I see the doctor again, and he say I'm able again to have the license. So we found another club of mountain bike this time. They didn't do a lot of downhill, but it was good to share the passion with other riders. And I did some little race in France. Like in France, we have like TDRGV is like race that you can race different discipline in the same weekend. So I did few of this. I think at 16 in Lyon we have a local race, downhill local race. Like you can race with an enduro bike or downhill bike or hardtail. Is pretty competitive. And I train on this track, like doing one summer pretty much before the race. At the end of the summer, we have the race, and two fast guys come, Florent Poilan and Simon Rivoire. Simon Rivoire did some World Cup like this year. He was good for the quali, so he did some top 80. And he come to the race, and we race, and I won the race in front of these two fast guys. And from there, my father say, okay, no, you prove you're fast, so I can help you to buy a downhill bike.
Amazing. What was that first downhill bike for you?
It was a Commensal V2.
Ah, there you
red.
Go.
Yeah.
Meant to be. Yeah, that's incredible. So you were kind of relatively late, I guess, from a World Cup perspective, right? You didn't race World Cup, or maybe you did one as a junior.
Yeah,
in your
because like
year.
first year junior, I had this first downhill mountain bike. So I did just the local race around my home, maybe one national round, but I was pretty far. And the second year junior, I start to do some French Cup, and I did pretty good. I won a lot of local race, and I met Claude Pierre, now is my team manager, and he pushed the French national trainer to select me for one World Cup. And at the beginning, he didn't want, but I think at the French Champ, I finished third. So it was pretty good for pretty much first year of racing in national level. So he said, okay, no, I can give you for the French World Cup in Val d'Isère.
Yeah.
So I went there. For my first World Cup, it was pretty mind-blowing, like to see every top riders. Yeah, it was not easy time for me, because like my parents didn't know the sport, didn't know really the sport, and even on the local race and national race, most of the time I move with other parents than other rider. They come on few, but not on every. It's like, for me, it was a bit the freedom of this. I was able to do everything myself, with the help of other people, but without my parents.
Yeah.
And my parents didn't understand that it's also a mechanical sport. So when I broke something, it was always hard to negotiate, to have new parts and everything. And I come to the World Cup with like the tire from the, pretty much from the tire when I buy the bike. So the rear tire was pretty slick,
yeah,
like you imagine. Rubber was harder than no, so it was not too bad. But and French mechanical was like a bit like, oh, you really race with this tire, mate? So he found some tire for new tires for me. It was pretty funny. And I have also the problem on my bike, but he solved this. I was pretty good because I qualified. Mm-hmm. And at this time, we didn't have junior categories, so I was with the elite and I was in the top 80. So I was pretty stoked.
Yeah.
At the final, I crashed. So I was a bit pissed off because at this time, my goal was to have enough UCI points for racing the year after in the World Cups. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was pretty fast move for me from local race to World Cup in 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, man. And you had like the support that you had around you at that point. Was that from like the club? Was it VTT Ozon-Ozon?
No, at this time I was in another team, another okay. club. It was Irini, close to my home.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have any support.
Okay.
It was it was more a group of rider and parents. That everyone helped everyone, but it wasn't really a team.
Okay. How did that team support kind of come to be? Because am I right in thinking that the team that you kind of first joined back then is basically the same team you're on now, that's just evolved?
Yeah, yeah. So during the year, Claude Piret is now my team manager. He said, yeah, next year we have some junior in the team. Will come some my son won't race World Cup, so we will do a team, like a team. So for my first year elite, I joined this club, the Rock VTT, and we are like, I think in my region it was the biggest team of downhill, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Biggest club, and I think we were like maybe 6 or 7 riders to try the World Cup, but say I think I was the oldest, pretty much. The other one was more junior. They just want to see how is World Cups.
Yeah.
And so we start like this at the beginning, like the team, the club was Rock VTT Ozon-Ozon, I think the name. Mm-hmm. Ozon-Ozon is a ski resort. They were the sponsor and we helped there to organize a French Cup. Like this, it was a good collaboration.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but at the beginning, we were more a group of privateer organized than a team, because we didn't have like any support. We pay the bikes and we have some free accommodation, but that's all. Yeah.
Yeah, fair play. You showed some serious promise quite early, though, in your World Cup career. I mean, qualifying as a junior at your first World Cup on a bull tire is quite impressive.
To be honest, I was pretty lucky because we had the rain during the quali.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the top 30 was on the try, so the top guys was good for the qualification. Mm-hmm. And after that, we had a storm. So for a few riders, it was pretty hard to qualify. Mm-hmm. And after that, we rode in the mud, but we had more place, I think. So okay. It was a bit easier, but yeah, still something big for me at this time.
Yeah, but even so, even in your first kind of elite years, there were some strong results in there quite quickly, right? Like,
I don't remember exactly, but I remember my second race in Val d'Isol. It was so bad. It was so hard for me. I think I finished over the top 100. So it was pretty far, and I was pretty impressed by the riders.
Yeah, definitely. The level's insane when you get to World Cup. But yeah, you did have some strong results, like fairly on early on, I think, getting towards top 30s, and didn't take you long to show that potential and show that there was some speed there. But I think there was a lot of ups and downs too along the way, which maybe made it hard for people to see just how fast you were. Like, what kind of issues were you dealing with in some of those early years, like injuries?
Yeah, you're bikes? Right. We didn't have a lot of money, so like second year, first year elite, I remember I rode like one pair of wheels for the season. So it was a struggle. We didn't have any tubeless. We were in a tube, so we had a lot of puncture and all this stuff. So I think I missed some quali because of puncture, or even like I remember in the round in Meribel, I lost my pedal during the run. And I was able to ride on the axle of the pedal. Oh. that was terrible. And until the end, I was pretty good for the split, but I had a puncture, so I was off the track and I missed the quali for nothing. I was so pissed off at this time, yeah. But a lot of little stuff like this, because yeah, it was hard for me to have the good component and everything, so yeah.
Yeah, and you were studying, right, for your first two elite seasons?
Yeah, I did. It's like the beginning of mechanical engineering. Uh-huh. It's technician in French, technician mechanical, so it's 2 years it was pretty heavy for me. So I didn't do full World Cup round the two first year of elite.
Yeah. I guess like for some riders that have had more opportunity within juniors, by the time they come into elites, they've potentially picked up like a relatively big team. I guess for you, you didn't have that security, right? So the studying was important at that point in time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when I moved for the study, I did just only one World Cup. So in my mind, it wasn't the plan at all to leave from the mountain bike. And yeah, so even I was able to, normally I have the possibility to manage the study I did in 2 years, but you can do in 3 years for athletes, but I didn't do.
Okay.
I did in 2 years, so I did normal cycle.
Yeah.
So it was pretty hard, yeah.
Definitely.
Like it was pretty much the study, training, homework, sleeping. I didn't do a lot of parties or a lot of this stuff because I was pretty busy.
Yeah, fair play. And in I guess in more recent years, like there's been a bit more consistency, more support. So 2019, I think it looked like you came in pretty strong into the season with a good early season result in Portugal, but then unfortunately picked up a knee injury in Fort William, right? Which kind of was almost the end of that season, really.
Yeah, so every year pretty much the team growing up, like every year we had more support. I think after a few years the name was Dorval AM Nicolai. And yeah, in 2019, I think 2018 I did close to few top 10, so that was the big goal for me to reach this the top 10. But same as before, we had some mechanical issue many times that like it was, yeah, a bit frustrating. Like in Andorra, I was in the top 10 in the quali, doing few split, and I had a tire blow off the rim, and I still riding, and I was close to the quali even on the rim, and it was hard. So 2019 was also a difficult year because I had an ankle injury during the winter. So I think it was pretty early in Maribor, the first round. I wasn't really good. And after that, we have a European champ that I finished second, just Ben Baptiste Piron, my new teammate. In 4 years again, I broke my rim during the run of quali. I rode until the bottom, and on the last jump, the rim broke in the frame, and I go over the bar and I twist my knee a bit. So yeah, I think 2 months off the bike during the season was pretty long.
Yeah, that's not great, is it?
And end of the season, I wasn't able to ride pretty fast. It was pretty hard, yeah.
Yeah, and then we had 2020. COVID hits the world and kind of shuts things down, stops racing for a good chunk of time. But I think you took full advantage of that available time, right? And also in France, you had the French Cups kind of fairly quickly, I guess. They were sort of the first serious bits of racing in 2020 that a lot of people attended. Tell us a bit about how you approach that COVID period.
Yeah, so firstly, I think I was able to leave from mountain bike for the last 2 or 3 years before this date, and I had this dream come true a bit, that I can ride every day my bike. And I knew after the season of 19 that if I will do a second year like this, maybe I will lost all of this facility. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty stressful for me. So I was really motivated to train hard during the winter and to have really good season result and keep this life. So when COVID happened, I was pretty disappointed because I put so much work during the winter to race. And so during the COVID, I keep ready the training. I did everything I could to be ready when the season will start. Mm-hmm. So that was the mindset pretty much. And we have also Camille Ballange, who come to the team. She bring a lot of sponsors because she managed pretty much all the every bike sponsor, and Claude manage like Torval. I'm more and the logistic and everything.
Yeah.
So the bike was really better than before. We have everything like the best, like best wheel, best suspension, best frame. So it was pretty easier for me to be consistent, I think. So yeah, we started by the French Cup because we didn't know if we will have some World Cup. So it was like the mini World Cup in France.
Yeah.
And I did some good result and my first French title.
Yeah, incredible.
In front
summer.
Of in front of Loris Vergier and Loic Bruny with the world champion jersey. So it was a big thing for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So did you come into the start of that late World Cup season, I guess, really confident after a result like that?
Yeah, sure. I was really pretty confident. Yeah.
Too confident? Like, do you think that it got into your head a bit, or?
I don't think I'm sometimes too confident. It just I really thought like a top 10 or top 5 was possible in the World Cup. So that was the goal, to be on the podium pretty much after the French Champs. Yeah.
Yeah. How did that 2020 season go then from your perspective? Obviously high expectations after that summer of French Cups.
Yeah. Honestly, it was pretty good. It was the end of my contract and I was racing, so it was good result for that. And I was pretty, it was more relaxed after that for me. Like I knew after being French champs that it will be easier for me to keep my life like this and it's less stressful. And about the season, I was pretty stoked of the French Cup, French Champ, and in World Cup it was pretty difficult. I think in Lusa I was close to the podium at the first round, and at the second round we have the run in the middle of the run, so it was I really thought I was close to do my first podium, but I didn't do so. A bit of I think it gave me a bit of energy for the winter to train again pretty hard,
I've heard you say that you, in the winter, you focus on making any changes to the way you ride and the way you approach and the way you train, so that when you get into the season, you can ride more on instinct and you're not having to think about some of that stuff. Were there changes that you wanted to make after 2020? Like, were there certain aspects that you went and focused on?
I don't remember, but yeah, like most of the time I at the end of the season I really see where is the split, where good, where is bad, and see where my weakness and everything, so I can train on that and also speak with a lot of different person to see what can I learn and improve. And I always try to improve myself every winter. So I think at this time most of my weakness were on the flattest part of the track. So I try to find solution to keep the speed and everything. Yeah, pretty much.
Were those solutions, do you think?
I think it's more about the braking before the corners, and also the flow, or to be really I don't know in English, to be like a good cycle.
Yeah.
Not
like smooth
or to have a good flow in the corners, like
to carry more exit speed from the turns into those flatter sections rather than maybe braking a bit too late, or
it's also maybe on the setting of the bike, because at home is pretty steep, the track I ride, so the shock was pretty smooth, and on the flattest part of the track is a bit slower, I think.
So you need something a bit stiffer to kind of help carry the speed.
Yeah,
fair play. So you came into 2021 then fired up after a big winter, having not quite got that podium you were looking for in 2020. And you took a podium at the first round, I think, in Leogang.
Yeah. It was big dream for me just to be on the podium. Like I always think when I start, and we just want to do the quali done pretty much, and this time I did my first podium. Like it was a big achievement for me, and I did it with my team that I start with. So everyone evolve and everyone is better every year. So it's for me it's a good it's a really good story, and I'm really proud of what we did.
Yeah, it's incredible. And did that give you protected rider status as well, getting that podium at the first round?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Did that change things at that point? Because it's well worth having, right?
Yeah, but I think I had, I don't know, and maybe it's the first time I really had during the full year. Uh-huh. So yeah, it's pretty easy. You can push during the quali. You think more about how you can be good on the track, less than if you miss something, you can be out of the quali.
Yeah.
Because at this time, my level was really in the top 20, I think. Mm-hmm. So the quali normally is something pretty normal, but it's still, if you have like a puncture or mechanical or a little or a mistake or something, you can be out of the quali and don't be in the big show. So, yeah.
Definitely. Is it fair to say that season you started to believe in yourself a little bit more and feel like you were maybe a top 10 rider?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah, the goal was to reach other's podium but and be in the top 10 every time. Yeah, I felt really like my place was the top 10 at this time. I knew if I do normal run, I was able to do a top 10, so it was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about world champs that year in Val d'Isol. You're obviously having, you know, a strong season, fit, like you say, feeling like a top 10 guy. Did you feel like a medal guy coming into Val d'Isol? Did you think there was a chance there?
Coming in Val d'Isol, yeah. I thought it was, I had a chance because normally the track suited me good in the past. So I thought it was possible. But after the quali, I think I was 8 or 10. I was pretty far from the front, so I was like, maybe it will be complicated. And this year we had one more day of training after the quali. Paul, that was the line guys we had in the team at this time. I think we work on every key section during the full day. I woke up with the bike a few times to try different line and be sure I'm really fast. He did some video to compare with the other fast rider. And I was pretty fast. So at this time, I knew if I am able to glue every piece together, I will be able to do a good run. So that was the goal. And honestly, the run was, I think it is my best run of my life pretty much, yeah, at this time. I remember really attacking the track and I did some mistake, but always keep the speed. So at the end is pay off. And yeah, I remember arrive at the bottom, be super stoked of my run. And yeah, but I didn't know it was enough to be a second.
Uh-huh. When do you think you realized that you were really in the hunt for a medal? How long did it take for that to set in?
I don't know, because I think Greg starts two riders after me, so he beat me pretty fast. And after that, we still have like five or six riders, so... I don't remember. I think, I just realized when Thibaut Daprela crashed at the end. And it was really emotional for me. Have a medal at the Worlds. I was really, 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 really stoked. Even if it's like close to the win, it's like 2/10 of the second. I was really, really stoked, and I knew this day I did the best of me. So, yeah, just happy.
That's great, man. Was there ever a point where you started to almost be upset that it was so close? Because it really was tight with Greg, and Greg was on incredible form.
I think no, now, I'm a bit upset, but. It's racing, you know, so sometimes you are on the good side of the second, sometimes you know, but yeah, doing, I think until the next season, I wasn't upset of the time. I was just talked off because if I did again the run, I'm not sure I can do the same run at this. So, you know, I'm just happy of what I did.
Do you have an idea as to what made that such a good run for you? Were there like certain things that fell into place that enabled you to perform that way?
I think it's the motivation. Motivation, yeah. I'm a racer, so I always want to do the best. But yeah, I don't know. I think with Paul, we did a really, really good job. And after that, I was pretty confident. He showed me that I can beat some rider on some line. So yeah, I think I was pretty confident. And I was maybe a bit lucky to don't do a big mistake or some stuff like this. Sometimes it's help a bit.
Yeah. Do you do more of that track video analysis at races now than maybe you did before that world champ?
So at this time, Paul did also the food and the cook for the team. So he wasn't 100% for the line. So our world champ was pretty, it was not normal because he had full time for me and for the team because we have the French Federation for the food and all the other stuff. So, but now we have more budget and we have Sam is 100% for the team for that. So it's easier.
Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, coming out of that season with a good deal of confidence, I'd imagine, coming into 2022, and that paid back with podiums in Lourdes, Fort William and Lenzerheide. And I think you won qualifying in Leergang, didn't you, that year?
Yeah. So yeah, after the world, so the new goal was to win a World Cup or a World Champ. So I was focused on that. I think in Fort William I was pretty close. I think 2022, if in one weekend Amaury wasn't at his best, it was possible to win a World Cup, and we needed to take this chance pretty much. I think he had a few weekends where he wasn't as disturbed, like for William, Leogang, Mont Saint-Anne, and Val d'Isol.
Yeah.
So I did a good start of the season with the podium in Lourdes. I was really stoked because we received a new Commensal V5 10 days before the World Cup, and I was able to do a good run, even with, like, I think we had bad sitting because after the race I was a bit pissed off of my sitting for the race run, but it was good confidence for the season. Fourth with the new bike, it was pretty sick. Yeah,
that's incredible. How did it feel then, getting that first qualifying win at Leergang? You must be starting to believe.
Wow. So I knew I had a chance, so I was pretty confident. I think at the top everyone was a bit stressed. With the team, we have my physio and coach at the top. We are one of the only team doing that. Mm-hmm. He do the warm up with us. I just need to follow his orders and play with him until the start. So it's pretty good for me. I feel always good. He know how to speak with us before the start and everything, but I felt a bit, everyone was a bit stressed. But honestly, it was, yeah, it was a good, really good run until the crash.
Yeah.
And because at the top, I was able to ride pretty fast, and I was aware to keep energy for the bottom. And I did it really good. I come in the wood. I was pretty stoked because I was pretty relaxed and still have a lot of power. So I think I attacked the wood pretty fast, and it was pretty good. And in one little corner, I just unclip one foot because I missed my balance. And for the corner after that, I thought I was clip again, but I wasn't. And it was a pretty technical corner, so I needed to move my rear wheels. And when I moved with my feet the bike, it wasn't happen because I wasn't a clip, so I crashed there. Yeah.
Oh man, I didn't realize that's what had happened. I knew you were unclipped.
Yeah, at the beginning of the crash, I thought I was able to manage, but I hit the tree and fall down. It was when I saw the split at the bottom, because I was pretty far in front, I think 1 second or even more. I was, yeah, it was hard. Yeah. I knew it will be hard to win my first World Cup because the level is so high, and you need to. For me, I have only few shots during the year when the other top guys wasn't in a good weekend to win a World Cup. So yeah, it's not a lot of shot or chance to win a World Cup, and you need to do really good at this moment, and that's put a lot of pressure on me.
But you know, I guess after that qualifying run and the run up to that crash, you know the speed's there now.
Yeah, but yeah, in the head, it's always hard to convince you can win a World Cup. You always think other rider can be faster, or every year we have new junior coming, so the level is higher and higher. And if you don't keep to improve yourself, it's hard to still at this level, I think.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, let's talk about world champs this year. So you've got silver coming out of the previous year in Varasol. We're in Leger, in your home country of France. I'm assuming this was a target event for you, like having got silver the year before and you know, being very much a podium threat and winning qualifying Leergang, you must have thought this was potentially at least a medal, if not, you know, a win.
Yeah, I think for every French rider, this weekend was the weekend for 10 years, the goal, I think. Yeah, Leger, yeah, I really, yeah, sure, the goal was to win, to put everything to win. And it was a good start of a weekend where I won the quali, so I was pretty confident. But like in Leger, the crew was insane for the world champ. I think 70,000 people for the day, so it's pretty impressive, I think, for us. I never saw that. So for the day of the final, I was pretty stressed. Even I think to wait until from the training to the final run, I have 4 or 5 hours to wait. Mm-hmm. And even outside the city, you still hear the stadium of Leger pretty high. So it was really. Yeah, it was really big. It was really big.
Yeah.
The run, yeah, I didn't do the run I wanted, but I don't think I was able to beat Loic this day. It was really, really fast. Even for the podium, I don't know if I was able to do this run. But yeah, it was a very good weekend to see all these fans come for the race. I spent hours with the fan after the race. It was pretty sick, yeah.
Yeah, it was an incredible
to
event.
See how is the sport now. It's insane, yeah.
Definitely, man, definitely. So yeah, coming out of that 2022 season then, you've won qualifying on a couple of occasions, haven't yet converted it into that either world chance win or race win. I'm guessing a lot of work went into getting ready for 2023 yet again. Like I think you're famous for having done quite a few laps of the Plenty in Morzine.
Yeah. Yeah, in Morzine, for a few summer, I rent apartment for the 3 months of the summer. So yeah, I knew very good the Plenty. Eh?
Yeah. So you put the work in the off season. And I guess Commensal have been a really important part of things. Like you say, the move onto that, the Commensal bike and then the V5 have all been good steps forward. But Commensal do a lot on the performance side, I think, not just for the, like, I guess, factory team riders, but also for you guys and the other Commensal teams, right?
Yeah, so we're pretty lucky because the team didn't develop the bike. It's Mukov do it. Mm-hmm. But when we receive, we have all the... they give us a lot of tips and stuff for sitting the bike, and they have a lot of knowledge. So for the last few years, they had a track in Pasquet. Commensal did the track only for Commensal riders, and we spend 3-4 days, and the Commensal engineer come every time. They give us a lot of information. We do some meeting to see how they see the racing now, how we can improve the management of the team, and also all the stuff around the bike. So we are pretty lucky that they give us a lot of time to improve the riders, the team, and the seating of the bike. So yeah, and we have always Max Commensal on the races, that he know how is it. He don't have any stupid question about the racing and everything. So it's pretty easy.
Yeah. Well, so have there been changes to the way like the team logistics and planning and stuff gets run off the back of that support from Commensal?
Can you repeat, please? I didn't understand
the
question.
Yeah, no worries. Have you, or has the team changed some of the way they set up and run the team itself off of support from Commensal? Does that make sense?
Yeah, we improve some stuff, yeah, every year. And Commensal help us on some way, and some other way we do the home stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Are you able to give any examples of changes within the team that have like been a big benefit for you? Things that you found really helpful?
It's all about logistics, and also what is important for the mechanic. I need to find an example, but like for example, they say why you don't warm up before the training, to you know, don't miss one run just because you're not warm up, or mm-hmm. enjoy yourself because one muscle is not ready, or some stuff like this. It's also about how you can test, do your testing on the bikes, and because we are pretty busy and everyone counts when you do testing, so the team need to be ready before and know what's the goal of the testing, everything, to don't miss some time. Yeah
So a lot more structure and planning, yeah. And test events and that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, you hear like for the Tour de France riders having their own mattress and pillow moved around to all of the evenings, yeah. So they're always getting good rest. And I mean, I guess recovery is not as important in downhill mountain biking, but it's amazing the lengths that teams go to for those small marginal gains.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool stuff, man. So yeah, let's talk 2023. It looks on paper anyway, like a season of kind of three parts for you. And the first part of that season, you clearly had the speed, like you were a top 10 guy, but it didn't look, on paper at least, didn't look necessarily like you had the pace to win. Like, how were you feeling in those first few races of the season? Were there any doubts?
So the goal was still the same, to win my first World Cup. During the season, at the beginning, I think at the first round, I was good in quali and semifinal, often in the top five. So that was pretty good. And every time I thought I was able to do a podium in the final, but I was only on the top 10. I think just before Andorra, I was a bit, yeah. It was hard for me because when you have one goal and the goal is to win a World Cup and you're not close at all, like top 10 is, 10 is pretty far from the first place. It was hard for me because I thought like maybe with the level we have now with the two new junior that, I think during the winter, everyone trained so hard because everyone was a bit afraid about these two junior the seasons, started pretty late, so we have a lot of time to train, and I thought maybe I was not anymore able to be close to win a World Cup maybe. Like 4-1 is not a lot when you see like this, but when you are in the season is 4 chances that you don't have anymore, so it's pretty frustrating. So coming in Andorra, now I say, okay, I put all my effort for the final run, even more than before, less in semifinal, to see what I can do. Mm-hmm. In Andorra, yeah. Even from the beginning of the year was pretty difficult to see where I am because we have a lot of weather issue during the season, like with rain at the final or rain at the semi, and with the new schedule of the semi-final, it was pretty hard for me to feel how I can manage my energy and my focus and see what exactly I do wrong, because every time I try something, we have weather issues, so it changed. It's hard to take a conclusion about this.
Yeah.
So yeah, again in Andorra, we have a problem with the weather and we don't have the semi-final. But even with the bad weather for the 10 last rider at the final, I try to push really hard to see where I am. And I think I was pretty good before my crash. I take a tree in the middle of the run, but yeah, at the end I was happy of the weekend because I was able to push hard in the final run and I was close to the best guys in the rain, so yeah, it gave me a bit of confidence for the next few run, but it's still not a result, so in the head it's still like it's between like the doubt the belief you can win.
Yeah, tough one, hey. And you, I guess like you've had that crash, so you know you've kind of maybe gone a little bit beyond the limit. So you're trying to find again where that limit is for you. And we were back to back, so it was Andorra, Ludenville, Leger, 3 weeks in a row. No room to reboot or go and do much, as you know, as, I guess, recover, sharpen up and go again. How did you feel coming into Ludenville after Vanord, like a bit of a crash?
Yeah, but firstly I was pretty lucky, the crash wasn't too bad. I just, my wrist was a bit sore, but so when I didn't ride a lot between Andorra and Ludonville, a lot of riders did a lot of lap in Ludonville. I wasn't able to ride a lot because of my wrist. Even in the first training of Ludonville, I didn't do the last jump of the track because it was pretty heavy landing. So it was a bit just to don't hit too much my wrist. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the track was, from the middle of the track was insane in the steepness and with a good off camber. I like all this stuff. The top was a bit flat, but yeah. I didn't know what I expect because it was a new track. And yeah, we did the quali. I won the quali with... I just remember my last corner of the track. Well, I did it so bad because I didn't jump in the training. So, but I won like this. So I was pretty stoked. And yeah, it was a little victory for me because from the beginning of the season, I didn't have really good result, and win a quali was a little celebration for me. Definitely. I was pretty happy. Yeah.
Yeah. And then into semis and another win.
Yeah. So the day of the semis it rained. I'm pretty confident on the mud. I was pretty confident. And the morning of the training, my team, the staff who were in the track said to me, "Oh, you look like really, really easy on the track compared to the other. It's pretty good." So I did the semi. So the plan was to take it easy, to save energy for the final. Mm-hmm. But after a few corner, I forget it and I push hard until the middle where I did a big mistake and it was close that I was off the track. And it was tough because I wasn't protected at this time for the final. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if I did the big mistake, it was shame to don't go in the final because I felt pretty good on the track. Yeah. And I still won the semi, so I was really, really, really fired up for the final and confident because I knew I did the mistake, the bottom, I take it easy to just save my semi run. So I was pretty confident for the final and I knew I had the chance to win. Yeah.
So your race run was looking super good. It was looking doable. And then that little kind of right-hander in the open that caught actually quite a few people out on race day. What happened? Did you get like out of a rut or?
It's hard to say. I think the rut moved a bit. At the end of the weekend, the rut wasn't really into the corner. Half of the rut was outside, and it's why we did the mistake. But even after the race, I went to see the rut and everything, and it wasn't look too bad. So it's honestly, it's hard to explain because even if I did a track walk before the, even if I was able to do a track walk before the final, I didn't notice this. It's like pretty nothing. So I don't know. Maybe I was a bit overconfident or I don't know. It's hard to explain. Sometimes it's just you're a bit unlucky. And you know, the work we do is managing the risk at the final run. That's the job, and you always like try to find the good setup. And sometimes you over your limit, sometimes not. Maybe yeah. I was.
Yeah. Was it easy?
But honestly, I didn't felt like into the corner. I didn't felt I will crash. Yeah.
Okay.
Was it pretty big surprise for me. Yeah.
Was it easy to stay positive after that? Because I mean, the positives are strong, right? You've won quali, you've won semi.
During the run, I was so confident that even after the crash, I run because I said, oh, maybe a podium is possible or something. It's so funny. You know, your head sometimes when it's like, you have the program in your head, it's like, just go. But yeah, when I come to, yeah, to the finish line, I was, yeah, pretty sad, yeah. It's, again, I won the quali and I did bad in final, so it's like to have a big gift close to you and at the last time you can take it. Is it was really tough for few hours.
And we've seen this story happen for some other riders, right? Lucas Shaw comes to mind as someone who's had that. Clearly had the speed to win and hasn't actually had the opportunity to kind of convert that. Again, we're back to back. Do you think it was good that you didn't have much time to think about this and that you were straight into another race weekend later?
Yeah, maybe. But it's the biggest dream of my life. It's something so big that you want so bad that, it was really hard for one or few days. And I speak with a lot of people and a lot of fans told me that I looked good and I was close to win. Next time maybe it will be my time and everything. Yes, it was tough time, but yeah, we come to Léger and I was focused again. So yeah.
Yeah, and again,
Max come to me the first day and said to me that every top rider are injured, top commencer rider are injured. So I'm the only one that I can do something this weekend in Léger. So it was, let's go.
a little bit of pressure at the right time, I guess, helps.
Yeah, but when you know Max, it's you know how easy. It's okay, but yeah, sometimes it's put you a bit of pressure, but it's way to say to you that he believe in yourself.
And you know you go well there, right? You'd gone super well, you know, qualifying first at Worlds there the year before. The track was fairly similar, but had some quite significant differences in places. Did you feel comfortable straight away on that track?
No, at the beginning was pretty hard. I think I had the pressure and also we have a long line at the lift. Yeah. So we wait always more than 1 hour and it was pretty hard for me to have good riding after 1 hour, 1.5 hours to wait. So first day was pretty bad. I saw on the videos of the team that I was pretty slow, but yeah, it was the first day, so everything can change.
And it did, right? It did change.
No, this year I didn't do any time training, but because I'm always bad the first day, and it's hard for the mind when you're not in the top 20 at the first day. So I didn't do any of time training to keep energy on my head.
Yeah. And was there a little bit like the cues on the second day weren't quite so bad? Is that right? Was the logistics of the event a bit slicker?
I think it was better the second day. Yeah.
So you got some more riding time and you weren't cooling down in a lift queue for an hour. Did you start to feel like the speed was coming then?
Yeah, second day I felt pretty good straight in the morning.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, winning the quali after that was again a surprise.
Okay. A good surprise though.
Yeah, a good surprise.
Yeah, and the confidence starting to rebuild a little bit, or is there that pressure of like, okay, we've been here before?
Yeah, it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
It was more after the semi.
Uh-huh.
Because I was for my head was pretty hard because in one side I was in this situation a few times and every time it was bad, and it's always strange how the brain think that for everyone lot of people told me after the race that they thought it was better if I didn't win the semi. they were afraid that the story repeats.
Yeah.
And for everyone, it's a bit the same. Even in my head, I was a bit scared of that. I'm able to win or not a World Cup one day. It's still something you think. But I was also confident because I did a good semi. I knew I was able to do better. I didn't pedal at the bottom. So a lot of stuff to improve. I was... In Ludovel, it was okay for the final run, but this time I was really, really, really under pressure. Even for the warm-up and everything, it was pretty hard. I told to my coach, Adrien, that I was really under pressure. I was like pretty much a bit shaking.
Yeah.
So it was really tough.
How did you feel in the start gate? Did you manage to kind of get all that under control and bring some focus?
So I told to Adrien that I want to arrive in the start gate at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
I think 1 minute and a half before my start.
Yeah.
To don't think too much. It's to be at the start of Léger is pretty hard also because we hear a lot of the crew. We know exactly why is the rider on track because we hear the crew follow the rider. I jump into the run. It was really good run. I play safe on few corners because in the semi start to be really dry.
Mm-hmm.
I think Andreas did a mistake in one corner where I play safe, so it was a good plan.
Yeah.
But other part I was really attacking a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good run.
It was
like maybe the last corner I did it so bad, but it was enough.
So you were down, I think, at the first three splits and then up as you came out, like across the river coming out of that last little steep section before the jumps and everything to the finish. Did you feel that crowd reaction when your split went green?
No.
Okay.
During your run, you just feel the crowd is always pushing you.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard to... Sometimes you hear the speaker... Because we have some spot on the track, but I don't think this time I hear the speaker. But sometimes I remember one time in the French champ, I hear I was in front. So sometimes but I think too much information is not really good. You can lose your focus.
Yeah, but probably the best place and the best timing for a win as a French rider, right? You were last man down the hill. That place, I mean, I was on the side of the hill and it absolutely erupted. Everyone charged down to where you were. Like, I don't think winning a World Cup can be much better than that for a Frenchman, right? That's cool.
Yeah. I think I did it the best way. Starting in last, crossing the line, knew you can win. In French crew, the biggest crew of the year also. Close where I train a lot. It's like 3 hours from my home. I have all my family and friends where they're there. And and the way how the last 2 weeks happened with the crash the week before and all this stuff is for the emotion is really, really big. And finally achieved my biggest goal and dream is really something big.
Imagined your first World Cup win, did you imagine it would involve crowd surfing across that many French fans?
No, I never imagined like this. all the way how it happened is way bigger than what I dream.
Yeah.
I'm pretty lucky for all of this. Yeah, even I think I'm lucky that I had a lot of support from the fan, because I'm a bit the guy who, the outsider, and I think fans like a bit the second guys.
Yeah, for sure.
And the guys who win always. So yeah, it was for the fan was a good weekend also, and for the French guys it was a bit like Andreas Kolb or me, and I won the weekend, so it was good for the French fans.
Yeah, and it wasn't just good for the fans, right? The other riders that were stood on the podium with you seemed genuinely stoked. Like, you've just taken Andy's second win away from him, basically, but everyone seems so happy for you. Like, it's incredible, that support.
I was pretty lucky for that. Yeah, everyone was really, really happy for me, and everyone gave me some good word. Yeah, it was really good.
Did it feel as good as you hoped it would?
Yeah. It was good. Yeah, really good.
Yeah. Amazing.
It was, really, really, really good weekend. I'm lucky, and I was able to take time with the crew and the fan. I spent a long time on the podium, and everything is, I wanted to remember and to take all the time I need to really feel the crow and everything. I think it was pretty good. Yeah.
Amazing. And we had a short break to recover from the hangovers from that victory, and then over to the US for the last two rounds of the year. How were you feeling then coming into Snowshoe, having taken that victory? Were you revved up for more? Were you tired as a result of it?
After the race, I was really, really tired, because, it was a lot of emotion. I wanted to enjoy this moment. It's not happen every day. So the plan was to rest during the 2 weeks, keep it easy, ride in Morzine, and not really big plan, and see when I will take the plane to US, how I feel and refocus at this time, mm-hmm. and not before. Just enjoyed 2 weeks.
Nice.
That was the plan.
Yeah. And then how were you then? By the time you got to Snowshoe, were you feeling like you were ready to go again, or?
I was a bit tired, because I think after Léger, I had the COVID or something.
Okay.
Because I saw many people, but a lot of riders was like this.
Yeah.
I think Loic, Loris, Baptiste, everyone was sick a bit, so... Mm-hmm. But it's always a challenge for me, snowshoe. From the beginning, I always did the same mistake at the same place in the track. So I never did a really good final run. So every time is a challenge, and is how I see the track is for me.
Yeah,
is I will wanted to did it good, and maybe see what we can do on the overall, because I think for five or six riders it was possible to win if Loic did like 0 points in the two race.
Yeah.
So I was pretty motivated to to have a good end of the season. Yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't go to plan. Hey, that training crash took you out of contention.
Yeah, I was working on the last rock garden before the finish line. It's already a key point on the track. I was a really different line than other, and I really wanted to do it good. So I did three times in the row. Mm-hmm. To be sure is pretty good. And the last time I had a little... crash. I put my hand on the rock and I broke my scaphoid. So it was, I felt it directly that it was over pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, a hard way to end the season, I guess. And an injury that can be a tricky one, right?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm pretty lucky over the year. I didn't have too much injury. So it's like this. Sometimes it's happened. When I thought back of this, I will do the same because I really want to have this line at the bottom. I thought it was the best line and try a few times. It was the best way to do it good. So what can I change? And honestly, the crash was pretty slow. It wasn't like I didn't put my life in danger. So it's just sometimes it happened.
Yeah, fair play. How was the recovery from that? Did it take long? Because skateboard could be tricky.
No, honestly, I was pretty good. It was really a little crack on the scaphoid. Uh-huh. So 3 months after the crash, I was on the bike.
Okay.
I think end of December.
Yeah.
So for a scaphoid, normally it's just the time that you are in the cast. So I'm pretty lucky for that. And yeah, me, I'm really passionate about bike. I ride normally pretty much every day on the bike. So it was 3 long months and I'm not used to don't ride the bike during the winter. So it's always a bit stressful at the beginning of the season that maybe I need more volume, but it's look like I'm still pretty good.
Yeah, that must have felt good then to get that result, Sandy, to know like, okay, well, I have more time off than I would have chosen, but we're good. We're going.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so excited for the 2024 season then, man? I know I am.
Yeah, I am too.
Are there rounds that you're particularly like looking forward to or targeting that you think?
Sure, I still have the revenge to take in Loudonville and Léogang.
Yeah.
But yeah, the calendar is pretty good. Every track we have is, I really like them. So yeah, it will be a good year, I think.
Yeah.
And we're still lucky to have 2 rounds in France. So yeah. I think for a French rider, it's a big goal.
Definitely. And having like taken that first victory, do you go into this season with higher expectations or does it take a little bit of pressure off you? Like, how do you feel having had that win now?
No, for me, I always want to do better every year. So the goal is to do better. So I still put a bit of pressure on me to be fast.
and this whole time, right, you've stayed with basically the same team and the same people, which is quite rare, I would say, in this sport. Like at some point normally offers come your way and it can be tempting to move to, I don't know, bigger name brands or whatever it happens to be, but you've basically grown with the team to the success that they're seeing today with some amazing riders on the squad. Like I'm assuming you've had offers though. What is it that's kept you where you are?
Yeah, so first, I at the beginning, sure, if I was able to have a bigger team, I think I don't know how we can say in English in the past, but if I was able to take a bigger team, I will do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, fair. Yeah.
And but no, from the year where I was a French champ, I start to have like few discussion with some other team. Mm-hmm. But I think with the team we have now, I felt really good on it. The ambience is great. It's like my family, and we put all the money on the racing and not on the marketing. So I think we are one of the best team for performance. I think for the last 3 or 4 years, we are in the top 3 teams. So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So. For me, I still think it's one of the best teams where I can perform, so I just want to stay.
Yeah.
But we have some chat with other teams, but yeah, for me is I know I can perform on my team, so I just want to stay.
Yeah, makes total sense, man. Well, we're getting close to the end of our time, so we'll wrap up with our final four questions. The first one of those is, if our listeners had £150, which is about €175, to spend to improve their performance on the bike, what would you recommend they go and spend it on?
I think to have a good tools.
Yeah.
To do the maintenance of the team, that's really important. I remember when I was younger, I didn't have the good tool. I crush everything. It's so bad. So have the right tool and put the pressure on the suspension and the tire before you run is a good way to improve your feeling on the bikes.
Definitely, yeah. Making sure that your tire pressure and suspension pressures are where you expect them to be. A lot of people just don't, hey? They leave it for months and months and months and never check, which seems kind of crazy.
Yeah.
All right, next one, man. If you could wind back the clock and sit down with yourself age 16, what advice would you give him? Because you'd not even done a World Cup level race at that point, right? Or maybe just doing your first one.
I think I will say be relaxed, stay smart, believe in yourself.
Good advice. Yeah, good advice.
When you're young, you're always a bit stressed. You feel like every race is the race of your life.
Yeah.
And if something bad happens, you feel like it's the end of your life. But yeah, when you look back, it's absolutely nothing. So if I can do something to me, it's just relax.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier, actually, that you felt like when certain riders were not on form and not having a good weekend, that was your opportunity to take a victory. Having won qualifying and semis in Ludenville and all three in Leger, and I think the only male rider to win all three in a race weekend last year, do you still feel that way? Or do you feel like you can genuinely challenge those like top riders in inverted commas? Because it feels like you're part of the top rider group now, Benoit, to be fair.
Yeah, so firstly, I think if I'm often in the top five, it's easier to win at one moment a World Cup because with some luck or it just at one day it will click. Mm-hmm. I think these two weekends I was pretty at the top of my game. I don't think it can be the full season like this. But yeah, I think I can win more World Cup, but still some weekend where some other guys is just, you can beat them. It's like this.
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. But yeah, there's going to be weekends where they can't beat you, right?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Nice one.
I hope so.
Good stuff. All right, third one. If you could have a coaching session from anyone, past or present, who would it be and what would you want to learn from them?
Whoa. Samil for the grip, Conor Ferron for the fast corners.
Yeah.
Rad Boy for the flow.
Yeah.
Vuyuz for the technicity. Lot of riders. I don't know. More recent riders, maybe. I like how Rhys Wilson ride, so maybe have some good stuff. Yeah.
So many, hey?
Over the power years. Of Amaury Piron. How he, like, it's crazy how he can put force on the bike to have grips on corner and everything.
Yeah.
I remember Leger in 2019. That was the grip and the speed he had in the curve was insane.
Yeah, it was quite a masterclass, so, that run. Yeah, fair play. All right, last one, man. What is something you do every day that you feel benefits you?
When I drive my car, I always listen podcast in English to improve my English, and I think it's something good.
Yeah, well, your English is really good now, hey? Compared Thank to you. Only, what, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, your English was much more restricted.
I try to improve, and yeah, I try to listen a lot of podcast in English. It's a good way to don't be like during the when you drove you waste your time, so
yeah,
it's a good way to
nice good advice
to spend your time in the car. And yeah,
like it. Not heard that one before. Good stuff. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure catching up, finding out a bit more about
you.
I'm excited, as I'm sure many fans are, to see how this season goes for you. If people want to follow you, where's the best place for them to look?
In Instagram.
Yeah.
They can DM me or, normally I reply.
Nice. Well, I'll stick links in the show notes to that so people can find it. But yeah, all the best for the season. I'll be trackside in Fort William, so be cheering you on up there.
Cheer.
All right, that's it for this episode with Benoit. I really hope you've enjoyed it. A massive thanks to Canyon for supporting this episode. Are you looking for a new ride? Well, the Canyon Trail Sale has started so that you can shred for less and save big on your next bike. With no better way to start your season than with a brand new world-class mountain bike, you can save up to 30% on your dream Canyon. Just head over to canyon.com now to find out more. Also, a massive thanks to Wahoo. Wahoo products have been instrumental in my personal fitness over the last few years. What's more, they keep getting better with software updates, the most recent of which adds the ability to control your music from your Wahoo bike computer and shortly to control your GoPro too, so no more of that post-ride regret when you realise you've managed not to press record. You can check out the whole range over at wahoofitness.com. If you want to support the podcast, that could be via a regular donation at patreon.com/downtimepodcast, by grabbing yourself some merch from downtimepodcast.com/shop, or by sharing the episodes with your friends or online, or by subscribing to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/@downtimepodcast and sharing the video some love with likes and comments to help the channel grow. Stay connected by following the podcast. Hit that button in your podcast app now or visit downtimepodcast.com/follow. Don't forget to follow on Instagram and Facebook too, where we're at Downtime Podcast. And for that extra dose of downtime, sign up to our newsletter at downtimepodcast.com/newsletter. That's it for today. We're going to have another awesome episode coming up really soon. But until next time, get out and ride.